You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Happy New Year's, everybody, from all of us over here at Locked On Broncos. Excited to bring you guys another episode of the show as we enter the year 2019. We had a big year in 2018, and it's just going to get better and better because we have awesome listeners and we have a lot of content to cover all throughout the 2019 year as a whole. These whole 12 months, 365 days of Broncos coverage over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. Once again, hope you guys had a very happy New Year. Stay safe. I'm excited to hear some of your guys' goals. So tweet me at Cody Rourke NFL some of your Broncos New Year's resolutions and some of your own goals. I like kind of getting to know all my listeners and everything like that. So today's episode of Locked On Broncos is very special to me, and I think it's very special to Broncos country in many ways because it's going to be about a young guy that was a very promising athlete for the National Football League and for the Denver Broncos, who only had 2 years on his career in the National Football League, and that's Darrent Williams, who we tragically lost back in 2007. Rough event overall. I remember waking up the next morning, January 1st, 2007, and seeing in the news that Broncos cornerback Darrent Williams had been shot and killed. Now, to me, I was a big fan of Darrent Williams in that 2 year stretch from 2005 2006. He was a very promising young talented player, and we're going to dedicate today's New Year's edition show to Darrent Williams in remembrance of him, talking about what could have been as well. So on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, segment one, a little bit of an insight on Darrent Williams and what he did for the Broncos in his two seasons as a player. Segment two, we're going to talk about the impact of Darrent Williams from now and beyond and what it means to him for the organization, the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award. We're going to take a look at the winners of that award from the Broncos organization since it was established in Denver. And segment number three, I like to play the what if game. You know, what could have been with Darrent Williams in Denver? So we're going to talk about that on today's episode of the show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can also check out my work over at predominantlyorange.com. I'm a columnist over there. And we got a good piece coming out for you today on all of the Broncos head coaching candidates. I kind of sat down and looked at all the candidates that the Broncos have that they have requested to interview, that they want to interview. And we go from there, kind of analyzing what they bring to the table over at predominantlyorange.com. So let's talk about Darrent Williams. Darrent Williams became a cornerback for the Denver Broncos in the 2005 season as a rookie, a year where the Broncos had went to the AFC Championship, and he was a guy in the locker room that John Lynch really alluded to as one of the guys with the most vibrant, positive energies on the team. And John Lynch is quoted by saying, you know, as a rookie, you know, when you come to the National Football League, you know, you usually don't talk. You know, you have veteran guys telling you, you know, you're a rookie. You can't talk yet. Once you're a second year player, you earn the right to talk. But he said it was different with Darrent Williams because Darrent Williams was just positive. He had this bright, vibrant smile that was contagious inside the locker room. And so for the Broncos, he really came in right away and made an impact as a rookie, you know. And in 2005, he started in 9 games. He played in 12 games, started in 9 of them. He had 2 interceptions, and he took one of those back for 80 yards for a touchdown, and he had 10 pass deflections. So he was a guy that was getting a lot of action. When you have a guy by the name of Champ Bailey opposite of you, you're not going to see, you know, Champ Bailey getting thrown at quite often. So as a cornerback opposite of Champ Bailey, you can expect a lot of action. And that's exactly what happened. And he showed that he could hold his own right away. And one thing about Darrent Williams, he wasn't just a cornerback. You know, he was a very dynamic, agile, just athlete. He was everywhere. He was a kick returner. He was a punt returner. He did anything and everything that the Broncos had asked of him. And one of the things too, defensively, is he matched up really well with some wide receivers. You know, going up against guys like Hines Ward occasionally, that was a huge thing. You know, Anquan Boldin. You know, I remember watching Darren Williams. I watched number 27 the first time I saw him play. He laid a big hit. I can't remember on who it was, but I watched him lay a huge hit on a receiver, and you were like, okay, well, this guy can hit. You know, they had John Lynch, a guy who is known as one of the hardest hitting safeties in the National Football League, and then you have this young cornerback coming out of nowhere and being a physical corner. I mean, we saw Champ Bailey. Champ Bailey is one of the best open field tacklers in the National Football League during his playing career, maybe one of the best open field tacklers as a corner ever. And Darrett Williams was a surefire tackler as well. So the Broncos had a very, very talented defense. And in the past, when I was doing my other show, when I first started off doing podcasting, I had a chance to talk with former Broncos safety, who's a good friend of mine now, in Nick Ferguson. And he said the same thing about Darren Williams. He was a guy that would be wherever the ball was, he would make plays. You know, so for Darren Williams in his career, 2005, his rookie season, he made an impact right away. The Broncos made it to the playoffs. They beat the Patriots in the divisional round. They go to the AFC Championship and lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was a tragic game for many of us. But what we didn't know is that the next season, tragedy would just be an understatement for what the Broncos would experience. In 2006, the team experienced a lot of changes. Jake Plummer no longer the quarterback. The team decided to go with Jay Cutler. Darren Williams started in 14 games. He played in 15 of them. Four interceptions, 37 yards on those returns. He also had another touchdown. So anytime Darren Williams found the ball in his hand, he found a way to score, to get close to the end zone. He put the Broncos offense in some good field positions. And he was electric in the return game in terms of being able to explode. And he had a lot of success his rookie season, you know, in the return game. He was a good punt returner, averaged about 8.7 yards per return for the Broncos there. And then kick returns, he averaged about 23.9 yards per return there. You know, he had several punt returns for touchdowns that were called back. So, you know, when I go back and look at some of those games, I wish I could actually access some of those games and go back to that 2005 season, that 2006 season, and watch some of those games in full again, because it definitely makes you appreciate the game of defense and where it used to be compared to where it is now. But Darren Williams embodied what it meant to be an underdog, to play with a chip on your shoulder. And because of that, he just had this edge to him. And so I alluded to it a little bit ago here on this segment that, you know, the Broncos season ended tragically in 2005 in the AFC Championship. Their season in 2006 would end tragically, not only by losing by a field goal to the San Francisco 49ers in overtime that knocked them out of the playoffs, but just hours later, they would experience a tragedy of losing a teammate. And I'll never forget waking up the next morning, just being devastated, just reading it and seeing it on the news, just national news, that Broncos cornerback Darren Williams was shot and killed. And it really stemmed over an incident at a nightclub. And, you know, the whole situation, I don't want to give the guy any airtime. I don't plan on naming the defendant's name, but you know, we live in a time still to this day where you have a disagreement with somebody, you know, people just pull the gun out and start shooting, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, Darren Williams tragically lost his life due to senseless gun violence, which is a huge cause, which, you know, I'm glad we got to talk about that with Broncos safety Will Parks, you know, and his relief efforts that down there in Philadelphia, in his hometown, of creating more awareness on gun violence and how it affects not just, you know, family members, it affects friends, it affects everybody. Everybody's been impacted by gun violence in some way, shape, or form. So Darren Williams, his career, very promising, was cut short due to senseless gun violence. And it's definitely a tough subject for Broncos country. You know, you go through Twitter today and you see a lot of remembrance of Darren Williams. I posted a tribute video over at Cody Rourke NFL if you guys want to go check that out. Really good segment there, you know, really good video there. Tributes, R. Kelly's World's Greatest Song. And that was definitely fitting for a guy like Darren Williams, just his level of play, his energy. I mean, you can go see some of the plays that he made that made you excited as a Broncos fan for the future. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what could have been with the Broncos had Darrent Williams still been alive. You know, a very, very talented young player working, you know, how many more years could he have benefited from Champ Bailey? And then Champ Bailey loved Darrent Williams because he was always picking Champ Bailey's brain, and Champ Bailey took him under his wing in a mentorship type role. And Champ Bailey, one of the things he said was he really wishes he could have been the guy, you know, to have more time with Darrent Williams to get him over that hump and to eventually succeed him as the cornerback for the Denver Broncos. And Williams had all the tools, the speed, the talent, the range, the quick athletic ability to make breaks on quick sit routes and slant routes, and just being able to do that. He was a very, very special kind of player. And we remember Darrent Williams today on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Coming up here in segment number two, his legacy still lives on. His son's playing college football as a defensive back, but the name of Darrent Williams and the Broncos organization still holds tremendous value, and there is an award for the Broncos. Two Broncos players that represent what they do in the community and the positivity, the impact that players make. And we're going to go through all those recipients, the history of the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award, coming up here in segment number two. Taking a look at history here for the Broncos, the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award was created following the passing of Darrent Williams. And I feel as if this is a good award to give out. You know, you feel really good about it. And the award is stated as being given to a Broncos player who best exemplifies what Darrent Williams had in terms of his enthusiasm, his cooperation, and his honesty while dealing with members of the press. You know, being an athlete, you know, you have to talk with the press, and it's not always an easy thing. So Darrent Williams exemplified that. He was very good with the press. The press had a lot of great things to say about him. He was always willing to talk to the press, even after a tough loss or even after a hard performance. He was humble, and we've seen that from this year's winner, Chris Harris Jr. So we're going to go through the history of the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award winners, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. In 2007, you know, the first ever Darrent Williams Good Guy Award recipient went to John Lynch, and John Lynch had so many good things to say about Darrent Williams. John Lynch, one of the most respected players in all of the National Football League at the time, and still to this day as a player, what he did in Tampa Bay, what he did in Denver, it was unbelievable. And John Lynch exemplifies that. Now the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, he won it in 2007. Very good in the media, always talked, always displayed professionalism, and that was a huge thing. In 2008, it was Ebenezer Ekubon, good old defensive lineman there for the Broncos. He exemplified that as well. 2009, the winner was Elvis Dumervil. In 2010, you had Mario Hagan, linebacker, winning the award for the Broncos. 2011, it was Champ Bailey winning that award. In 2012, Broncos linebacker, former linebacker, now Tennessee Titans linebacker, Wesley Woodyard came away with the award. And in 2013, Chris Harris Jr. won the award, and he is the only two-time winner of this award so far. He won it again this year in 2018. 2014, it was Terrence Knight and Pot Roast bringing it home for the Broncos, the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award. 2015, the year the Broncos went to the Super Bowl, Brandon Marshall exemplified what it meant to be enthusiastic, positive, to the media, in the eyes of the media, in the eyes of the public. And in 2016, DeMarcus Ware was the other guy. Last year, in 2017, it was Justin Simmons taking the award away and winning that as well. So it's a good award that the Broncos utilize to honor their players that do display professionalism in the community and in the media. And it's tough. Like I mentioned, it is tough being an athlete and having to deal with all these questions and being asked all these different things. It was a you know, it's a crazy thing to see. Very humble guy, Chris Harris Jr. You know, we experienced it. And so we look forward to seeing who wins it in 2018. But on this day that we remember Darrent Williams, it's always good to remember his enthusiasm, his positive energy, and what he brought to the Broncos as a player on and off the field. I've reached out and I've talked to many former Broncos players, especially Nick Ferguson, about Darrent Williams in general. Not just the football player, but Darrent Williams, the man. And they said he was one of the most kind-hearted, just energetic, happy, and passionate types of people. And that's something that, you know, really doesn't get put into perspective a lot, because we see them on the field on Sundays. And on Sundays, you know, Darrent Williams was a different type of player. He was energetic. He was bouncy. He was everywhere. You know, you got to see that in a different light, through a different thing, through a uniform, through a helmet and shoulder pads. But outside of football, outside of the helmets, the shoulder pads, He was a guy that was well-respected by many members in that Broncos locker room. Carl Pema, Dominique Foxworth, Nick Ferguson, Champ Bailey, guys who had nothing but great things to say about him. And he fit into that culture of what the Broncos had there in 2005 right away. And he was a guy inside that locker room that not some of these older guys would go to, and they vibed off of, they fed off the energy of what Darrent Williams had. And that's something that's always exciting to see, you know, with guys like that, young, promising talent. And it's just so unfortunate that we have to sit here today and just think about what could have been with Darrent Williams. That's always something I kind of like to take a look at. You know, what could have been if Darrent Williams wasn't there that night when the tragedy unfolded? You know, his son Darius is playing football in Texas college football. He's, you know, trying to carry on that legacy, and he's doing a good job. They're a very talented young defensive back down there. He's been kind of fun to watch on social media. But, you know, other than that, you know, Darrent Williams is a guy that I think is tremendously missed still to this day, even though it's been over 12 years since Darrent Williams had passed away tragically due to senseless violence. And I think there's always a platform we should always create awareness for. And the Broncos continue to honor the memory and play of Darrent Williams year in and year out with the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award. And that's something I'm proud of to see with these Broncos players and the Broncos organization. It's something I think people should get involved with as well. You know, be good, be enthusiastic with other people, have energy, have compassion, be that guy that Darrent Williams was. And that's a good thing, you know, that contagious energy. You know, Nick Ferguson always said he was just one of the happiest guys in the Broncos locker room. He's one of the happiest people. And really for him, you know, it was a tough thing for many Broncos players. Still to this day, I'm sure this is a very, very hard day for many Broncos players. So we remember the legacy of Darrent Williams on today's episode of Lockdown Broncos, coming up here in segment number 3. We may play a little game of what if. What could have been? You know, maybe some bold predictions. What could have been had Darrent Williams still been around and that senseless, tragic incident did not occur on New Year's Eve of 2006, January 1st to 2007? We talk about that next. With Champ Bailey being at the prime of his career, having a tremendous year in 2006, the year that Champ Bailey had defensively in 2006 was phenomenal. I mean, it was unheard of from a cornerback position, just the level of dominance he truly had that year. And really, Darrent Williams didn't get to see a lot of action. Teams were really testing Champ Bailey in 2006. And Champ Bailey, you know, was a guy that mentored Darrent Williams extensively, you know, was in meetings, was always trying to figure out, you know, technique, asking him questions about what, you know, what he could do to get better. And Champ Bailey was the main guy to ask. And it was fun to watch. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't get to see the result of that tutelage from Champ Bailey in years past. So let's play a little game of what if here. What I'm trying to envision maybe where Darrent Williams could have been. I go back and I think about the years he had in 2005, and I think about the years he had in 2006, the impact he had on the field as a rookie right away. And in that 2006 season, he was a guy that I felt could be a stable name of this Broncos franchise had he had more years played, had he been given the opportunity to continue living at that point in time. You know, for this Broncos team, you had Champ Bailey and Darrent Williams. You could have had a very dynamic cornerback combination for, you know, I'd probably say maybe the next five. You know, Champ Bailey retired after the 2013 season. He couldn't get on with the New Orleans Saints after that year when the Broncos had decided to cut him and move forward due to his age and due to money issues. What could have been? Could Darrent Williams still be that guy that had that vibrant energy for this Broncos team? And could we have seen Darrent Williams and Chris Harris Jr. at one point, possibly? I mean, it's always possible, given the fact that you don't know the shelf life in the NFL for a lot of players. It could be one thing one moment. You could see, you know, a player play 10 years in National Football League. You see a player play 3 to 4 years in the National Football League max. I mean, it just varies year by year. But Darrent Williams is a very special player, very dynamic in the return game for the Broncos. Defensively, he was just so energetic. He brought energy. I mean, he thrived off that energy. You have Champ Bailey, John Lynch, Carl Pema, who was playing back then in the Broncos too. You had, you know, Elvis Dumervil. You had all these different guys. And I think overall for the Broncos, it was a crazy, crazy experience. With all that talent and that youth that they had on the defensive side of the football, there could have been a lot of special pieces in place for that Broncos team, especially as they went through some struggles through the following years afterwards. I mean, the Broncos had experienced, you know, missing the playoffs and going through the whole saga, firing Mike Shanahan, but Darren Williams is a special guy. His collegiate career at Oklahoma State was special. He was undersized at 5'8". A lot of people thought he couldn't play cornerback in the National Football League, and he went out there and he proved that he could. He could be that dynamic player that the Broncos had needed defensively, and they had gotten that guy out of him in his rookie season. He just made an instant impact, and his legacy will forever live on through the Denver Broncos and the community work that Broncos players decide to do. It's a good reminder that NFL players are, you know, are human beings too. When the Broncos lost Darren Williams, the players were affected in a massive way emotionally, and a lot of people didn't really take that into consideration. You know, he's still to this day, you see a lot of blame being placed on Javon Walker and Brandon Marshall, you know, and I feel as if that's very unfair, because being in some of those situations, you can't place blame on them. Imagine what those guys are dealing with. I hope Javon Walker to this day, I hope he's doing well in life, because this is a tough day for him as well. And I hope former Broncos wide receiver Brandon Marshall is doing all right to this day, because this was a hard day for Broncos fans. And not just Broncos fans, but for Darren Williams' family and just for those that knew Darren Williams. And it was a sad day for the NFL community as a whole on this day, January 1st. 2007. We remember Darren Williams here on today's special episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. We got Broncos safety Will Parks. We got another episode of Keeping It Will, the season finale of the Keeping It Will segment here until the offseason happens. Once there's a head coach hire, once there is free agents, the draft, we'll have Will back on here to talk Broncos football and what's next for him and his step tomorrow. We're going to preview the offseason with Will, what he's going to be doing. Obviously, a lot of offseason training, but the growth that he has had as a player in 2018 was very special to watch, and we can't wait to recap that on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos. Like I said, go to iTunes, leave a review of the show. Follow the show on Twitter @LockedOnBroncos as well. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode.